going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. What we have been seeing throughout this series is that Jesus is not merely teaching religious behavior. He's not teaching his people how to be more religious. He's not teaching his people how to follow a bunch of rules and traditions and dogmas. He's actually describing the culture of his kingdom. He's describing what it looks like to truly be his disciples and to truly be citizens of his kingdom. He's showing us what life looks like when God truly reigns in our lives and in our hearts. You see, the kingdom is not merely about external behaviors or external morality. It's actually about an internal transformation that God does within our hearts that plays itself out in the way that we live. And Jesus is teaching us what kind of people the citizens of heaven should become. And today we come to this passage that may seem small at first glance, but it reaches into every aspect of our lives and every area of our lives because it deals with the one thing that every single one of us in this room right now uses every single day, and that is our words and our speech. But even more than that, he actually teaches us the importance of having integrity and being honest. Listen to what the word of God says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. It says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simple, yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. God, right now, I come for you to you honestly and authentically. God, I realize the limitations of my own humanity. I realize the limitations of my own ability. God, I pray that you would help me to faithfully declare your word in a way that is clear, in a way that is convicting, in a way that is faithful to what you want to speak this morning. It's not about myself. It's not about my talents. It's not about even the amount of time that I've spent studying, God. It's about what you want your people to hear this morning. So speak to us. Penetrate our hearts. Deal with the things in our lives that need to be dealt with. And do it in a way that only you can. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. You see, we live in a world where trust is collapsing. We live in a world where people no longer assume that you're being honest. And that could be for many reasons. We like to fact check everything, and we should. The Bible tells us to test all spirits. The Bible tells us to not take everything at face value, but to examine everything. And we fact check everything. We question motives. We doubt promises. We read the fine print on contracts. And trust me, as a real estate agent, you should. We record conversations. We screenshot text messages and share them with other people. Why? Because words have become cheap in our society. You ever heard the old saying, your actions speak louder than your words? This is what Jesus is referring to. Because now in days, it's not about what you say, it's about what you do. You see, words have become cheap because politicians promise things and they don't meet the things that they promise. Advertisements exaggerate reality, and they always give you some kind of disclaimer. Either something is free, but it's only free after you spend $12 million on what they're selling you. The medicines that they offer you on advertisements can do all kinds of wonderful things to you. But by the way, let me quickly remind you of all their horrible symptoms that you will experience that might possibly actually lead you to death as well. So good luck with that, but make sure you use our medication. We have all kinds of corporations that market stuff to us, products with stuff that is half-truths or half-lies and half-truths, and social media trains people to project their beliefs and their ideologies and their images of what their life should look like. But in reality, it looks totally different. I saw a post the other day on Instagram of, it was like a before and after, and it was like this person sitting on a beach chair in front of a green screen, and then you look at the after, and it looks like they are in the middle of like a Hawaiian beach with waves going on, and it's, you know, they're in the sand, because what we present is often not the reality of what's going on in our lives. And honestly, this trust has become so normal that we almost expect everyone to be dishonest. Hear me. That's me. I'm going to be really honest and vulnerable this morning if I can. I believe you are always out to lie to me. Don't take it personal. But life experience has, I won't say trained me, but molded me into believing that everyone is out to lie to me. Everyone is out to hurt me. Therefore, I am by nature in my flesh, unredeemed Jose is by nature untrusting, I question everything. I'm cynical. And life has done that to us. We expect dishonesty. And this is why people constantly say things like, oh, I swear that what I'm saying is true. Or they'll say things like, honestly, like if I'm real, and you'll hear me say that, like, honestly, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm trying to say. This is what I'm trying to do. This is what I'm trying to communicate. Or that, to tell you the truth. Or how about this one? I promise. I cross my heart and hope to die. Do you really? Or they'll say things like, no, 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 for real this time. Because the last time I was lying, but I'm definitely for real this time. Think about that. Why do we feel the need to add those phrases? Because people have learned that words alone often cannot be trusted. And Jesus steps right into that reality, into that kind of culture, and he says, people in the kingdom should be different. People who claim to be citizens of heaven should be so honest and have so much integrity that they do not need verbal tricks to convince people that they're telling the truth, that their character should make their words believable, that their integrity should give weight to their speech. You see, Jesus is not merely addressing your vocabulary, he's addressing the condition of our hearts. Because our mouths often reveal what rules our soul. You see, one of the clearest signs to spiritual maturity is speaking honestly and truthfully. And you can learn theology and still lie. You can sing worship songs like we just did and spend over 40 minutes in worship, sometimes an hour, and for some of you that wish it was 2 hours, and still manipulate people. You can quote scripture and still deceive others, but our words should reflect that God that we belong to. And that's what Jesus confronts in this passage. You see, Jesus confronts a culture of people who would use speech to manipulate. Jesus was referring in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, when he says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old." You see, Jesus is referring to the Old Testament teaching regarding the vows and the oath, right? Now, in the Old Testament, vows were a serious matter. That's why when you say your vows in the church and you say them before God, they're not something to be played with, because God takes promises and he takes covenants and he takes vows extremely serious. An oath was a solemn promise made before God. To swear before God by God's name was to call upon God as witness that what you were saying was true. And scripture repeatedly warned God's people not to swear falsely. In other words, what he was teaching them was, you do not use God's name to support you do not use God's name to support or use deception. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12 says this: "You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God." Numbers chapter 30 taught that vows made before God must be fulfilled. Deuteronomy chapter 23 taught that careless vows were sinful. So the issue was never whether truth mattered or not. The issue was integrity. Do you have enough integrity to not just people of his word, not just be people of his word, but to also be people who keep your word? Because people of his word should also be people who keep their word. You should have enough integrity to just be able to have your yes be yes and your no be no. But by the time of Jesus, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they had distorted this teaching. And instead of pursuing truthfulness, they created loopholes like they did with everything else that we've learned up to this point. They developed complicated systems about how you can override or kind of go around the expectations of the law. They developed complicated systems about which oaths were binding and which oaths were not. So people would say things like, "Well, I swore by heaven and not directly by God." Or, "I swore by Jerusalem." Or, "I swore by the temple." Or, "I swear on my mother's grave." And they began to use all kinds of expressions to manipulate people into believing what they were saying was true. And they began to depend on the wording, and they believed they could escape the accountability of God's expectation and of God's word. But can you imagine how twisted that had become for that time? That instead of asking, "Am I truthful?" they asked, "What wording allows me to deceive people without technically breaking the rules of God?" Now, we could criticize them all we want to, but we still do the same thing today. "Well, it's not technically a lie." "Well, it's not intentionally a truth either." And that's the problem with our society and our culture and the way that we're trained and the way that we're raised to live in this world, is that we look for loopholes instead of actually looking to be holy and to walk in the righteousness of God. We ask, what way can we get around it? How close can we get to the line? How close can we get to doing things before it becomes sin? And how close can I get to sin without technically sinning? But that is not the way that any believer should live. And that's why for Jesus, this stuff is so important. Because remember that this whole thing started with Jesus saying, your righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Remember that that meant that you had to be able to fulfill over 600 laws and know them by heart and be dedicated to living for them. So technically, this is all extremely difficult and, quite frankly, impossible. But listen to me. Before we criticize the Pharisees too quickly, we need to recognize how often we do the exact same thing, where we manipulate our language, we shade the truth, we exaggerate stories, we leave out important details. "Well, I never lied to you, I just never told you that." Come on. If you're a parent, you've heard this one. Well, I didn't lie. I just didn't tell you about it. I conveniently forgot. And we word things carefully to mislead people while technically avoiding a lie. And we say things like, well, technically, and sometimes technically true, can still be intentionally lying. And there are people who know how to sound honest without actually being honest, and how to appear transparent while hiding the reality, how to speak carefully crafted words designed to protect their image rather than communicate the truth of God's word and the truth of what they're doing and getting involved in. And Jesus destroys all of that. He cuts right through the games. He cuts right through the manipulation. He cuts right through the religious performance. And he says, do not take an oath at all. Why? Because if you're a kingdom citizen of God, the life that you live should be enough to prove your credibility. If you are a citizen of God, the life you live should prove your credibility. That the way you conduct yourself in a relationship, the way you conduct yourself in conflict, the way that you conduct yourself in your workplace, the way that you conduct yourself when you're handling finances and money and all of that stuff, every aspect of your life is made credible by the way that you live and not the words that you speak. And if the words that you speak do not line up with the way that you live, then you are not credible, and therefore you are worthy of being judged and examined. And not believed. You see, in other words, our lives should already demonstrate integrity enough. Because the reality is that we need to understand that everything belongs to God. Now watch this. Because Jesus, after he says, yo, do not take an oath at all, he says, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city or the kingdom of God. Why does Jesus mention all of these things? The reason that Jesus mentions all of these things is because people believe that they could avoid accountability if they swore by something less sacred than God himself. But Jesus is actually trying to prove to them that, yo, you actually misunderstand the whole thing. You can't swear by the heaven because that's my throne. You can't swear by earth because it is my footstool. You can't swear by Jerusalem because it is my kingdom. It is my city. You know what the whole point is? God rules over everything. Everything belongs to God. So whether you swear by heaven or earth or Jerusalem or your heart or your head or your mom and dad's grave or this and that, it all belongs to God. Therefore, if it is a lie or falsehood or it's being used for deception, you are not doing it against other people or yourself. You're committing that against God because everything belongs to him. Heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. Jerusalem is his city. There's nowhere you can speak outside the presence of God. There's no category of speech that disconnected from his divine authority. Every word is spoken before him. The problem that we have as humanity is that we believe that we can hide from God. Surely God doesn't see it. Surely God didn't hear it. Or even worse, surely God will understand. Listen to me. I'm going to say this. There are no small lies before a holy God. Now, pause. Okay? Because I want to be very clear. We are not talking about the surprise party you're hosting for your loved one. okay? We're not talking about like, oh, I'm going to surprise Jose with a slushie and I'm not going to tell him about it, right? Like, that's meaningless and harmless. You know what I'm talking about when I say there's no small lie that does not offend God. There's no small lie that isn't going to offend the heart of God. Every lie is a lie. And you know what? And I'll even say this. Maybe it's not intentionally that you're doing, but even good intentions can produce bad fruit. Even good intentions can produce bad results. Listen, I could want to plant the most fruitful apple tree in the world. But if in my good intentions, I plant that apple seed in the wrong ground, you're going to get the wrong results. That tree ain't going to be so fruitful. And those apples ain't going to taste so good. So even good intentions can produce bad results. And you have to understand that this is important because there is a connection between your speech and your worship. And here's something we need to understand is that how you speak is deeply connected to how you worship. The same words that you use to curse are the same words you use to bless. That's what James says. The same tongue that we use to bless, we use to curse. Why? Because your words, your speech is connected to how you worship. If you truly honor God, guess what? You will honor people with your words. Cannot separate spirituality from your speech. There's a lot of people that lift their hands in worship on a Sunday and destroy people with their tongues on a Monday. Now, I just want to put a disclaimer because I know that there are people in this room that are like, well, Pastor Jose must be talking about me. We're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter for a reason, okay? But if the shoe fits, you might want to get a different shoe. You can't be going around worshiping Jesus on Sunday and then destroying people on Monday. James says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. And then James says, my brothers, these things ought not to be so. Hear me. Worship is not merely singing. Worship is a reflection of your conversations. How you speak to your spouse reveals worship. How you speak to your children reveals worship. How you speak to your coworkers reveals worship. How you speak online reveals worship, because the kingdom transforms the tongue, because the kingdom transforms hearts. So we speak different because we are different. Why is honesty so important to God? Because truthfulness reflects the character of God. God does not lie. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says God never lies. Numbers chapter 23 says God is not a man that he should lie. Everything that God says is truth, and every promise he makes is faithful, and everything he declares comes to pass. Think about this. Think about the comfort of that reality, is that when God promises forgiveness, he means it. When God promises grace, he means it. When God promises eternal life, he means it. God is completely and utterly, without fail, trustworthy and truthful. Now, when he speaks judgment, he means that too. And people who are a part of God's kingdom are called to reflect the character of the king of that kingdom. But Satan operates a little bit differently. And that is why Jesus called him the father of lies. Lies distort reality. Lies destroy trust. Lies corrupt relationship. And when people live in deception, they reflect the values of a different kingdom. That's why he says, if anything above this is evil, because it comes from an evil kingdom. But followers of Jesus are called to walk in truth because it proves as evidence that you are a part of the kingdom of God. So let me make this deeply practical for you as we get ready to close. And no, that's not like, I'm not going to say that a million times. We actually are getting ready to close, I promise you. Let me give you a few things that could help you with your speech and honoring God with your speech. Number one, speak truth even when it costs you. Hear me when I say this, integrity is expensive. Integrity might cost you a relationship. Integrity might cost you the loss of a position at your workplace. Integrity will cost you something, and integrity will cost you something, and that's why it's not easy. Because integrity is expensive. Anyone can tell the truth when it benefits them. But the integrity that the kingdom requires tells truth even when it hurts. Even when it's embarrassing, even when it damages reputations, even when it costs money, even when it requires humility, some people tell partial truths because they fear consequences of people more than they fear the consequences of God. But being a part of his kingdom means we fear God above human opinion. And so we're honest in our speech. The second thing you could do is you could stop exaggerating. What you think that person said to you is more than likely not what the person said to you. How you present yourself was probably a little bit more than what you actually are. Stop exaggerating. You see, many people avoid outright lies, but constantly exaggerate. Their stories become bigger, their numbers become more inflated. And you know the sad reality is that this happens even in the church. Details become dramatized. Why? Because often we want attention and we want approval and we want to be significant because we don't know how significant we already are to God. But Jesus says, yo, simplicity matters. You don't need to exaggerate to have value. You don't need to perform to matter. You just need to trust, and trust is enough. Number three, keep your commitments. Keep your commitments. And if you're unable to keep your commitments, count the cost before you make the commitment. When you say you're going to show up, show up. If you're going to say you're going to serve, serve. If you say you're going to love, love. If you're going to say you're going to provide, provide. But keep your commitment. Be dependable. Be punctual. Be trustworthy. One of the strongest Christian witnesses in the world today is being a reliable person that people can truly and genuinely depend on. In a world where everyone is flaky. And I do mean everyone. You guys who serve on youth, on the youth team, you realize a lot of those kids that are in that youth ministry that, by the way, don't even show up on a Sunday. They come just to youth ministry, and they come specifically because everyone lets them down and everyone lies to them and nobody shows up in their lives. That's why we as Christians have to be faithful to fulfill our commitment so that we can be the one person in their lives that can be depended on. Keep your commitments. Imagine how powerful it would be if believers became known as the people who always keep their word, and there's no manipulation, there's no excuses, there's no constant unreliability. Oh, well, I'm sorry. This is just the way I am. This is just the way I was raised. This is just how I've always been. Then guess what? Change. In Jesus' name and for the glory of Jesus. Number four. I'm going to say this one slowly. Refuse to gossip. Do not destroy people with your careless speech. Before speaking, ask, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it loving? Is it helpful? Is it glorifying God? Not every thought that you have in your mind needs to become a sentence, and not every piece of information needs to be shared. And last, but most importantly, as we stand to our feet, the best way that you could honor God with your speech is to repent of your dishonest speech. You see, some of us need conviction. Some of us feel no shame. We feel no hopelessness. We feel no conviction, and we need to feel that conviction. And maybe the Holy Spirit is exposing the reality of your manipulation, of your half-truths, of your broken promises, of your hidden deception, of your careless speech, of your gossip and your flattery and your dishonesty. Do not harden your heart. And be honest with God. And lay it down at his feet. Because listen to me, everyone in your life will reject you and won't forgive you except him. So be honest. Tell the truth. And repent. Because none of us has perfectly obeyed this passage. Every single one of us has failed with words in some way, shape, or form. We have lied, we've exaggerated, we've manipulated, we've broken promises, we've spoken carelessly, but there is one who never sinned with his speech or his actions, and that was Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Every word that he spoke was pure. Every promise that he made was true. Every statement he declared was trustworthy. And what is amazing is this, that the perfectly truthful one, who is Jesus, died for incredibly dishonest people at the cross. Jesus took the judgment of our sins, which we deserve, and he died for them. And through his grace, we are forgiven. But not only are we forgiven, we are transformed. You see, the gospel changes how we talk, because the gospel changes who we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray right now that every single person under the sound of my voice would wrestle with this reality, and that is that you, first and foremost, everything belongs to you. You are ruler, you are owner, you are master of this entire universe. In fact, you are the creator of it. So you hear and you see everything. God, if we have ever been manipulative, if we have ever been deceptive, if we have ever been unreliable with our words or our actions, God, right now, we repent before you. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We ask that you would cleanse us. And we ask that you would make us new. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' mighty name. And the church says, amen.